Infant Baptism Tested, written and read by David H. J. Gay. Preamble. In 1997, I published Battle for the Church. It has been put to me that two of its chapters, an examination of infant baptism, would make a separate work, and ought to be published as such, including footnotes. In meeting these suggestions, I have also drawn on other material in the book to form Appendix 1 to show that dipping is essential to the ordinance of baptism. Although I have made some changes not only to enable the two chapters to stand on their own, but to include recently published material, and of course the aforesaid footnotes, this work is substantially the same as the original. Indeed, because of those recent developments, my stance has become even more firm. And you will see why when you hear what is being said and written today by some Reformed infant baptizers. On one point, however, not directly connected with the subject in hand, I have altered my position since 1997. At that time, I had reservations about the usual Reformed view on the law, Calvin's threefold use. But I have now gone further. I am convinced that Christ's law in the New Covenant is not the law of Moses. This important topic makes only a fleeting appearance in this book and has no effect on his argument. It does, however, assume a much larger role in my book on the law. Christ is all, no sanctification by the law. Some, no doubt, will object to this present publication, both in its content and tone, calling it divisive, far too polemical. Well, there is no point in denying it. This book is passionately controversial and trenchantly so. But lest there should be any misunderstanding, let me say, without any hint of patronization whatsoever, I wholeheartedly acknowledge that those I have principally in my sights take Scripture as seriously as I do, deplore the present state of baptism, and want to reinstate it to its biblical position. I applaud this aim. It is mine. But even so, I must write this polemical work. Why? The fact is, with the passing of only a few years since the publication of my Battle for the Church, there is even more need to stress the New Testament doctrine of baptism, and to fight spiritually with words for it. A sacramental approach to Christ's ordinance is increasingly widespread. I view this development with horror. But it is not enough for me to throw up my hands in revulsion and walk away. I must do what I can to warn the unwary of the incoming tide. Not that I want to open old wounds and make divisions in Christ's church. Certainly not. I raise the issue because of its importance, and also because of its relevance. The fact is, not a few erstwhile Baptists are being attracted to infant baptism today because they are impressed with the logic of the covenant theology which buttresses the practice, which they imagine is all thoroughly worked out. They are also taken with the household names of leading Reformed theologians who have advocated the practice. Surely, so many distinguished and spiritual men can't be wrong, can they? Furthermore, as I have said, there is an increasing interest in sacramentalism, and in the most surprising quarters. And sacramentalism and infant baptism have been walking companions for many a long year. Well, before they adopt infant baptism, I invite those who are contemplating the step to hear what these theologians have said. I encourage them to weigh their so-called thoroughly worked-out arguments. I would like them to take a look at their expositions of Scripture, and I ask them to take a glance at what the practice leads to. Look before you leap, is my advice. Cultivate the Berean spirit. These were more fair-minded, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That is all I ask. I have, therefore, two main purposes in this publication, one negative, the other positive. First, I am writing against the views of infant baptizers, trying to show that their arguments do not stand up under biblical scrutiny. Of course, I don't pretend that this book exhausts the subject. Much has been written on the question, and written by authors far more able. Even so, I want to say something about it, perhaps to supply an introduction for those who may not be aware of the arguments which infant baptizers use, and their consequences. And that leads me to repeat my next reason for writing. Secondly, I write for those who are contemplating adoption of infant baptism. Before they take the step, I want to warn them of the consequences. Look before you leap, I say again.